We're in the Identity series at Ignite Youth, and let's do a bit of a rewind in case last Sunday morning you were a bit comatose. You were here in body, but not in mind and spirit. So here's what we did 2 weeks ago. I am new. We saw things like this incredible scripture. If anyone is in Jesus, he is a brand new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Absolutely stunning. And we looked at some of the, what are we? I'm God-like. Fully? Not yet, but that's where I'm heading. I am Christ's follower. I'm seeking to live my life like Jesus lived his life. Doesn't mean wearing sandals and a robe, but it's being like he was. I am spirit-filled. Filled with the Spirit, empowered by a new superpower that will enable me to do what God wants me to do. I am miracle worker. We can do greater things than Jesus did on earth, is what Jesus said in his own words. Wow. Maybe I don't ask enough or step out enough in faith. I am kingdom bringer. I'm bringing the kingdom of God. Wherever I am, the kingdom wants to expand. You've prayed the prayer a gazillion times. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Every time I pray that prayer, I'm praying that God would manifest his presence, his kingdom, wherever I am. Last week, Andrew led us in I Am Warrior. And he had this amazing acronym which stood for stand with others, don't fight alone. Team up with others and you can do so much more. Tag team, I guess, is what it is. War for the weak. Look out for those who have no voice. Be a defender of the innocent, of those who are hurt. Operate with courage. Be bold, be strong, be confident. Remember Moses said that to young Joshua? You can go into the land of Canaan. You can take on those bites because God is with you, and greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. And reload your weapons. We saw the armor of God last week. And even the fruit of the Spirit is armor. You can overcome so much with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and meekness. And sometimes you need to bring those other supernatural weapons from last term that we did. All of this stuff is on the fan page for Ignite Youth. If you ever want to go back and say, Mark keeps reminding us about supernatural, but I wasn't here last year. I was at his kids. Well, you can jump onto the fan page if you're on Facebook, and you can get all the inside guff and the stuff. And guess what? It's all free. I mean, it's like better than an Edgar's sale. This is a real sale. It's all free. Don't go to Edgar's. Go to the Facebook site, Ignite Youth. And lastly, he spoke about the D in sword was defeat the sin, but love the sinner. Be gentle with people. Andrew wasn't saying go and slash people and kill them. Go after the enemy, the evil one, but be gentle, he challenged us to be with others. Now today, I'm going to rock your mind a little bit. I'm going to say that we are priests. Part of our identity is priest. And I hope you don't believe me yet. I hope to convince you in the next few minutes. I am priest. What comes to mind? When you hear the word priest, turn to the person next to you and say a phrase, a thought, something that comes to mind when you hear the word priest. Priest. I don't know all the concepts that have now arisen, but I wonder if they're all positive things that you would mention about yourself. Maybe. When I think of the word priest, I think about things like someone who leads a funeral. Okay? When I die, I want someone with a white collar with a black shirt saying the last piece. I want my mum and dad to like feel okay, or my kids, you know? So he leads a funeral. He looks pretty serious, don't you think? Not Hugh Grant or Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean style, but someone more serious and demure. Someone who leads mass. It's kind of like communion in church with bread and wine and stuff. But he will do it even if no one's in the building, because it's a little stone building, and he'll do that anyway. Someone who always carries a cross with him. You can recognize them. They're dangling a cross. Sometimes hangs around the neck, and that's why they lean forward when they walk, because it's like cross is heavy, man. I mean, you carry your cross. It's a heavy thing. Someone who prays for people. I like to think that I can look up in the yellow pages and find someone who's going to pray for me under the section, priests for hire. Okay? I don't know if anyone's shared some of the shadow side of priests. There's been revelations over the years that priests aren't always kosher. Pastors aren't always kosher. Sometimes pastors make headlines. You drive into church this morning, you might see a poster that says, some famous pastor is divorcing his second wife. It grieves us, doesn't it? When I do things that don't honor Christ, I shouldn't do that, you know? The Bible says we are priests. And this is the kicker for this morning, I think. And I want to share two passages of scripture and show you that God says you are priests. Freaky, right? Listen to this. You are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. So it seems like as I become a Christian, as my life changes radically, I will share testimony of that, how that I once was nothing, but now I'm something. How that it was like heading this direction, and I'm in this direction. And Peter, in this passage in 1 Peter 2, says you've been chosen to do priestly work. Now, this morning, I hope to help you understand what priestly work is, and it's going to get quite creative in a few minutes. I don't think you're going to sit listening for a long time. But that's the one scripture. Get it? You are chosen for priestly work. Any problems with that? So it doesn't say, like, if you sign up, if you go to Bible school. I mean, I spent 4 years at a seminary, at a Bible school, day and night studying scripture, studying the Bible. That doesn't make me a priest according to the Bible. That's just nice to have equipping. But it's actually the fact that I've come to know Jesus. Here's a second passage that makes it even more clear. Jesus loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father forever. And so he has made us to be one, a kingdom. You're a kingdom. Together, I guess. It's hard to be a kingdom of one. But we are a kingdom, but we are priests. Still, it's like, what the heck? Priests? So how do we become priests? Well, it's back to that scripture. Three things. Jesus loves us. It's his love for you that drew you to himself and the way that he freed us from our sin. Do you know that you don't have to sin? You have an option. You have a choice. I choose to sin. I allow my evil desires to lead me away, and next minute I'm hitting someone in the face and they don't like it. I allow that to happen. I have all the desires in me, the godliness, the Holy Spirit living in me to walk a good, pleasing path to God, but I sometimes choose not to. He's freed us from our sins by his blood, so he loves us, he's freed us, and he's made us to be a kingdom and priest. He's made me a priest. And that verse is not written to you elders, you deacons, you pastors, you employed people in the church. That is written to you and me. You are a priest. Any problems? To live it out is the only challenge, right? I'm a priest. So what the dickens is a priest? Come back with me a little couple years ago, way back into the Old Testament, back into the time when the priesthood was created. Around the time that Moses was leading the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt to the promised land, do you remember God made us? Eventually we rebelled. We landed up in Egypt. Moses came and said, let my people go. No one hasn't seen Moses' story, you know? Someone's seen the Ten Commandments at some point. And in that wilderness, God said, I want you to put a tent up so you can meet together. I think the neighbors were moaning about the noise levels, so they decided to put a tent to try and keep the noise in. And so what happened in that tent is a fascinating account of what priests would do. And God would come and meet. Can you see that, like, pillar of light and glory shining down from heaven. Every time Moses would get into the holy place, as you'll see now, God would come and meet with him. So the priests were appointed by Moses to offer sacrifices, to slaughter animals. Okay, so is that what we're going to do? Maybe, we'll see. What they would do is they would slaughter the animal at an altar burning with fire right in the front of this big tent. He would then move forward and he would wash himself, getting all the blood off. And he's carrying a little container at this point full of blood. He's on a journey somewhere. As he walks into this holy place, he turns to the left. He lights 7 candles, representing the light of God. There was no other light in this. There wasn't electricity in those days, or torches. He would then lay out some bread in God's presence. He would eat a bit of the bread. He would then move to that middle place over there, and he would put some frankincense or myrrh. Who remembers a Sunday morning here where we put those little white stones, which was incense, into that big cauldron last year, and it started, and this whole place was full of smoke, and we couldn't see anything. And Quentin, so it's quite a while ago, but he went running out with the stuff, took it outside before the neighbors came and said, the church is on fire. So some people thought the neighbors had burnt the church down, but that wasn't true. It was the incense. And that will fill this place where God was. And behind that incense was this most, most holy place. And he had a piece of rope tied around him, a 30-meter rope, and he had bells on the bottom of his jeans. Why? If the people didn't hear the bells anymore, they couldn't go in and get the priest out. They had to pull him out by the rope that was tied around his feet. Because anyone who went in there where that light is shining, do you want an inside view? One of the priests snapped this picture with his cell phone, and it was that, the Ark of the Covenant. And around the Ark was this amazing glow of God's presence. And it was vivid and real. That's why Indiana Jones has been desperate to find the lost Ark. Okay? Because he wants to see the glowing. And onto that covering, he would sprinkle the blood, and God would look down from heaven and not see the sin of the people. It was like there was a temporary covering from the people's sins. So the animal's life had to be given so that human sins could be forgiven. Interesting fact that when Adam and Eve sinned, God came and clothed them and covered them with what? Not fig leaves, which was their effort, with the skin of an animal. He came and did the first sacrifice to cover skin. Sucks to be an animal. But blood must be given when sin is committed. That's ultimately why Jesus came and died on the cross for you and I. So what did a priest do? I'm going to distill it down into 3 things that we can activate this morning. The first thing was the priest was set aside to worship God. He spent time in that most holy place, sitting on the ground, chatting with God, standing around, kneeling, looking up at God, giving God love and credit. And just, the Bible says Moses spoke with God face to face. Intimate. Intimate. It wasn't so much about, you know, speaking to other people. The first responsibility that we have as priests is to do that. Secondly, they were there to intercede. Anyone fuzzy about what the word intercede means? If I intercede for you, it means I speak on your behalf. I'm like an advocate for you. I'm going to pray for you. If I know something's wrong with your life, I'm going to come and I'm going to go to God on your behalf. A priest is like a mediator between God and other men. You stand in the gap between God and your buddies. And third, the priest would serve God. He would offer sacrifices. He would do slaughtering. So we're going to teach you how to slaughter a goat. Andrew, is the goat ready? It's downstairs in your boot. It'll be on its way up just now. Okay? So if we are priests, we must worship. Am I right? Because we're priests. If we are priests, we must intercede, which means to pray, to speak on behalf of other people. If we are priests, we must serve. We must serve God. I'll help you understand that in just a little while. So this morning, my question to you, Igniters, is are you ready to be a priest? Are you called and chosen and ready to do spiritual priesthood, spiritual ministry? And so why don't we begin by worshiping God this morning? Okay? How about that? We've done it. We've done the loud praise, but the band is going to lead us into intimacy, into an expression of worship, maybe beyond anything you've ever known. So you don't need to move the chairs away, I don't think, because we're going to carry on in a while, but the band is going to help us be priests and worship God. Worship, it does something to us, but in a way that we can't fully comprehend, it does something to God, to our Creator. It's this lump of clay that was created, turning back and honoring the Maker, and it's lifting Him up. It's honoring Him. It's telling Him how amazing He is, that He's indescribable, that we honor Him, we respect Him, big ups for all He's done. And then as that song challenged us in the context of worship, it goes out from ourselves. It doesn't just stay with ourselves, because it's about others. Lord, heal the sick. Lord, feed the poor. And Lord, do that through us. And so as priests, we worship. We intercede for people. We speak on behalf of other people. And I want you to think of one person in your life, either in your family, and I want you to think of their name, and I want you to write their name on this little piece of paper. And I want you to write a phrase, a sentence, a prayer for that situation to be resolved. And so maybe my dad's out of work, and I want to write his name, and God, please help my dad find a job. That's all. Then I want you to get up and come and lay it on the floor in this area. We'll move that table out the way. Lay it down upright. And we're going to invite God to come and read them and to solve every one of those situations. This was done when Hezekiah was facing an enemy coming to attack the people of Israel. And he wrote out his prayer. He went into the temple. He put it face up, stood back and said, Lord, there's my prayer. Would you come? And God came and rescued His people. Okay, so a couple of the leaders are going to help me hand out a pen and a piece of paper. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your concern about what happens on planet Earth. Thank you that you love to hear our prayers and you delight to answer. And Father, I pray that you would rise up from your throne in heaven, that you would make your way right into the space this morning that we've created, as we've raised to you 50 odd people, situations, lives that we care about, that we desperately pray you would come and respond, touch every person, heal every disease, equip, empower. Father, spend a moment at every name. Send angels to do your bidding. Speak the word. We believe you, Lord. We believe you have all the power. You spoke and everything we see came into being. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in the heavenlies right now. You're bringing heaven to earth. You're changing circumstances, situations. Lord, at 10 to 10 on the 31st of January, lives have changed. Situations have changed. You've put into place that which would bring the complete restoration, the shalom of every name that we have listed before us. We have interceded as you've asked, and we believe that you have worked in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for what you've done. We will come back next week. Wherever, we will give testimony, we will post it on Facebook, we will proclaim your renown, for you have done great things. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said in agreement, amen. Amen. Don't wait until Sunday morning to do that. Wherever you are, bring your friend. If someone says, I'm feeling sick, don't say, oh, shame, have you had a panado? Say, let me pray for you. Let me do something for you. Here's the last thing that the priest would do that we want to challenge you this morning, is to serve God. Here's some of the practical things you can do this week. Sorry, Jesse, but you're on the big screen again. But I can't think of a better moment of someone doing good than as I watch Jesse just serving juice and soup and rolls to people who had spent the night out on the cold streets of Johannesburg and Melville. And I want you this week to find something that you can do for someone and do a good deed, something unexpected. Many of us do what's asked of us, but that's not enough. When someone has a need, and if you see it, we were out in a sanctuary yesterday morning, Ash and Drew and I, and we were just about to open a new pack of wine gums and the non-alcoholic top, and we still saw these two little kids walking towards us who clearly had not had much that day. And I just looked at Drew, who's like only four and probably somewhat selfish, and I said, what should we do? Should we give it to them? And he said, yes, Daddy, that would be good. And it was just a random act of kindness that hopefully said to two young kids in Boksburg that someone loves them and someone thought of them. And they first looked at us incredulous, like, are you for real? Do you want to do something to us? Are you going to harm us? No, no. Dude, it's for you. Like the whole packet. Yeah, the whole packet. Do something good this week. Secondly, tell someone about Jesus. We serve as we bring people up into God's presence. Tell someone about your relationship with Jesus. It's like you reach down and you pull them up toward the light and you point them towards the light of God. Point them towards the Savior. And then if you get a chance, begin to help someone grow in Jesus. There's a whole lot of the encounter books at the back. If you ever come to us and say, there's someone who's quite a new Christian and I just want to meet each week and take them through the encounter book. It's not rocket science. You don't have to be, you know, 55 to do that, but you're going to journey with someone to help them become like Jesus as they grow in Jesus. And here's what we want to do practically this morning as we're about to close. I want to challenge you to serve in Ignite Youth. Sure, this can be a place where you come and you're blessed and the band is phenomenal and you watch the band, but if you've probably noticed, the band is not just adults. The band is more and more with people like you, people who give up a Saturday morning, 9 to 12, to come and practice together and then sing on a Sunday, like Jean and Lolu and others, like the girls from last week. And that's going to happen more and more as you step forward and use your gift. And so here's a couple of the ways you could be involved. You can be part of the person that welcomes everyone. It's great to have this gray-headed 47-year-old welcoming people, but how cool and funky. You know, if like those cool shoes that you're wearing are up here, and it's like, yo, welcome to our space, man. So you could be on the roster for welcoming people. You can do the newcomer contact when someone's new. And I'm assuming there wasn't anyone who doesn't speak Afrikaans who didn't hear the welcome this morning. But Rob gets to them at the moment. You know, Rob will bounce across and he writes your name down and you're onto the SMS list. You might want to help with that because, Rob, if there's five new people, it's really hard for him to be in five places at once. I mean, the dude's big, but he's only got two arms. Have you seen him trying to get his arms and legs to everyone? There's the announcements. You can do that. Andrew doesn't have to do that. Let's make Andrew obsolete. Let's make me obsolete. Yes. You know what I mean? Let's retire the old-timers. I can go to an old-age home and play bingo. No, I'll be here every Sunday to encourage you on, okay? What about the offering message? This morning's offering message sucked because a minute before we start, I said, Andrew, we have no one, okay? You got to just pass a box, dude, and he passed the box. You can do something really better like James and Lolu in the last 2 weeks. Don't forget. Then singers. Hey, we're not done with like singers up here. If you can sing, sign up. If you can be a musician. I mean, IMTA is really an elementary level, introductory level guitarist. Okay, maybe not. But he wants the rest of you to come as well. And do you notice, I notice they swap instruments sometime. It's not like that's only Zach's red guitar. Zach doesn't mind, well, if he sees how you play and he'll let you play it. You might want to put your name on that list. Sound engineer. Someone at the back where Keegs is sitting now. You get to relax and work the sound, hopefully stop the gremlins like this morning, the feedback and lack of sound. And then computer operator, Jesse and CK when she's around from next week. Well, you guys can do that. I mean, it's like monkey work. If Jesse can do it, you can do it. Refreshment provider. You get to taste the juice before everyone else does. And if you die, then no one else dies. That's an awesome job. It's a great job, right? And if you get, no, I won't go there. cleanup squad. I mean, that's an amazing thing to just put stuff away, look around, prepare the place. I love doing that, honestly. Sunday morning, I get you at 7:30. First thing I do is pick up stuff. I love it. It like feels like, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not like a janitor. But hey, that's cool. It's getting ready. So when you walk in, it's like, cool space, man. Cool space. I'll help with that. And then the light operator, whenever there's video shown, we're like, whoa, get the lights, get the lights. Who's forgotten to get the lights? Hey, you can do that. You know, everyone lift your hand up. Like, imagine you pushing a light, light switch, on, off, on, off. No, no, on, off, on, no, no, on. You see, you can all do it with a bit of training, okay? And maybe you could do that. Now, here's what's going to happen. The band's going to play in the background, and I'm going to assign these to different people. I want you to think of each of those. If you want to be part of the welcome, you're going to see my man, Tabojo. How about that? He will write your name and your number down, right? If you want to be involved in the offering message, if the leaders can make their way towards me, who else is there? Lolu, James. If you want to be part of, what was that? Offering message. Come and give your name. Ideally, you want to be in one place, but some of them you could be on two lists. If you want to give your name to Sandile, you come to, if you want to be involved in newcomer contact, if Rob does that now. Just listen up so you know who's who. Guys, listen up so you know who to go to. Come and see Sandile if you want to help Rob do new members. Okay, if someone's here, you get their name and address. Come to James if you're interested in the announcements. You guys can actually go and stand in different corners. So James, if you want to help with announcements on Sunday morning. Jesse, if you're keen to be a singer. Boy Pillow, if you're keen to be a musician. Okay, if you can play guitar, jamboree, whatever. I have no idea what a jamboree is. I think it's a scouts thing. If you want to be a sound operator, you come and see my man Zach here. If you want to be involved in computer operator, you come and see my man up over here. He might be over there. You come and give Sichaba a shout. If you want to be a refreshment provider, okay, not you, but if you want to, you come give your name to my man over here. If you want to come and be part of cleanup squad, if you're like, dude, this place is dirty, that piece of paper, you see my man over here, cleanup squad. If you also want to be a musician and cleanup, that's cool. You get double blessing when you get to heaven. If you want to help with the light operation, you come and see my man, Kale. Okay? And each of them will have a pen within a second. I'll give them one and we'll do that. We're going to do this for about 3 or 4 minutes and then I'm closing, right? So you have to do this really, really quick. Okay, make your way to where you want to go. Okay, so today we spoke about being priests. Next week, Imta is going to speak about being friends. I'll be in Namibia, so I'll be thinking of you. I'm in our church in Namibia, training the leaders in team development. So I'll be from a distance, loving you all. Awesome. Have an awesome week. Let's have a word of prayer and some refreshments. Father God, we thank you for this morning. It was pretty unusual to hear that we are priests, we must admit. We're a little bit freaked out by that. But it means loving you, worshiping you. It means telling others about you. It means praying for our friends who need you, who need help. It also means, Lord God, serving in a significant way. Thank you that we don't have to slaughter animals because it's so messy and all that blood and stuff. Thank you that Jesus died for us and we have life eternal. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.